Amen? Peace is here today. The power of Jehovah Rapha is here today. The healer is here today, moving in the midst of this place. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kelly, I just believe you're going to get an astonishing report. When is your MRI? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. When you begin to walk out of here, walk and declare your healing, okay? And walk and declare your healing and obviously, well, you'll know what to do by faith. Amen? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Wow. Good to see all of you today. I wanted to encourage you, if you can, this week prayer will be Wednesday night. Wednesday. Here in this room at 6:30 or online. You can join us online for those of you that can't get here by 6:30. You're welcome to join us. We worship and pray. Right now our focus has just been, you know, to release the prophetic on those of us that are here and to ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We need that more than anything. Good to see you guys. Our White River friends, Canyon Day friends, what do you call yourself? East Fort friends? the great White River metropolitan area. Hallelujah. God is good. Glory be to God. She got a good report. Was it last week? Yeah. When you guys went to flag and the doctor said, everything's cool. A lot of people, I know we talked about this last time you were with us, but this is the Renita that we've been praying for and another victory over cancer in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, let's get into the Word for a few minutes. And like I say, God is not done with what He wants to do today. And we're going to move forward. You got anything? Okay. Hallelujah. Most of us know, just even off the top of the cuff, what has happened today is anytime you fixate on Jesus, how many know it's okay to fixate on some things? But when you fixate on Jesus, He authorizes faith and He finishes it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so when we look to Jesus, how many know the Word is powerful? But if you look to the Word and you don't look to Jesus, there's no authorization of it in your life. Does that help you a little bit? He authorizes something, frankly, that He is this made flesh. And He wants it to become flesh in your life. And He's a finisher of what He's begun. We know that every good work that He's begun in you, He will be faithful to complete it until the day of judgment. Amen? The Lord will complete what He's begun. But what I wanted to share with you today, in order for this to happen in our lives, we must always be willing to repent. Would you agree? But with this understanding, that although the Lord, hear my heart, He's initially our Redeemer. Would we agree? He's initially our Redeemer, but He's also the Lord of renewal and the Lord of restoration. Interestingly, that's where God was taking us today in the worship. He's the Lord of renewal and the Lord of restoration. Here's my heart to share with you today. And I've seen this, a lot of Christians get caught in this pattern. You don't need to get saved again and again. You don't need to get born again, again and again. But we do need to understand there's very much a necessity for renewal and restoration. I mean, we live in a dark and a fallen world, and we come to places in our lives where we do need to be regenerated, revived, whatever word you want to use. But how many of you know we need it? Actually, it's the very essence of God's salvation in our lives. If you'll remember, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached and he said that there would be a period of restoration that must take place of all the things spoken by the mouth of the prophets from ancient times. God is a God of restoration, and Jesus won't return until restoration takes place. That's why I know His church will be glorious when He comes. Amen? And I do believe He's coming soon. I see the signs, but the greatest sign is going to be the work of restoration. That'll be the greatest sign that happens in our lives. Our Redeemer, who is certainly our Redeemer, is also He who renews us and restores us. Amen? Amen? So go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Everybody say proper time. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Look at your neighbor and say, He cares for you. I'm serious. Tell somebody. He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Say, resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, how many of you are so glad it says a little while?
Yeah.
Amen. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. His heart toward us is to perfect, to confirm. Y'all see that?
Amen.
To establish it. It's to restore us to the way He redeemed us to be. Now, I believe David had an understanding of God's heart for restoration. I believe he did, because I believe it was the reason he was able to repent after his sin with Bathsheba. He was able to repent of that and be restored. And I want to say to you today, no matter what predicament you're in, no matter what oppression you're under, no matter what sin or bondage you may be in, whatever your situation is, your failings, your weariness, whatever it may be, I want to tell you today, God is always faithful to renew and restore those who repent and come back to Him. Amen? He's always faithful. Again, not only to forgive us. How many of you are glad for forgiveness?
Amen.
But not only to forgive us, but to bring restoration. He fully intends to restore us individually as He's going to restore His church. Now, David's prayer of repentance is so powerful. It's actually, most of you know this, but it's Psalm 51. Literally, he wrote this psalm to the Lord as a psalm of repentance after he was confronted by the prophet about his sin. Because for a while, David tried to sweep the whole, I call it the Bathsheba blunder, under the carpet, right? And just ignore it and go on business as usual. But God confronted him in His mercy. He confronted him. Now, the first 10 verses of this psalm, David spends crying out for God to cleanse him, for God to forgive him, and release him from his sins. And it's very, very powerful. But again, David was asking for that he might be pardoned. But here's the thing. When you read the whole psalm, you start to realize something. David knew and believed that God was not only the one who would pardon him of his sins, but He would restore him. Amen? Let's be honest. A lot of times in the church and in religious circles, we tend to be the least that have any confidence that somebody can be restored. We struggle with whether or not God will forgive them. Right? So that's why we struggle to forgive. But see, when you understand that forgiveness takes you to restoration, it takes you to something new out of something bad or old, how many of you know that's a powerful thing? And we have to remember that. So I want to pick up with verse 10 of Psalm 51 for the sake of time to not read the whole passage. But look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. How many of you ever prayed that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And renew what? A steadfast or right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. That's probably my favorite part. I have cried many times, Lord, sustain me that I would be a man that can bear fruit in my repentance in the days to come. Amen? Say this with me. Create. Renew. Restore. Sustain. Isn't that powerful? Let's say it again. Create. Renew. Restore. Sustain. Because I want it to stick, don't you? I love to gather together. I've answered many an altar call myself over the years, had hands laid on me. I've cried out to God in a secret place. But I want some sustaining power.
Amen.
And He wants to give it to us. But now, it gets interesting. After this is prayed, look at verse 13. Everybody say, then. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will what? Joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may what? Declare your praise. Hallelujah. What a powerful prayer of repentance. Would you agree?
Yes.
But it's not only a prayer of repentance, it's a prayer of restoration.
That's right.
And God was going to restore him. And I believe the reason David knew this and he knew how to pray this way was because David was a man after God's own heart. He knew God's heart. And I want you to become convinced of this today and have hope beyond anything else. God knows your heart. Amen? But He also needs you to know His heart.
Yeah.
That's what was the key to David. He was after God's heart. It's one thing to know that He knows us. It's a whole other thing to know His heart. Because
yeah.
When you know His heart, the devourer can't run you over.
Right.
Amen? He can't run you over any longer. Hallelujah. The accuser can have no success in your life. For you will overcome him by the blood and the word of your testimony. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Get this, guys. We know David's story. It was pretty, wow, you know, kind of like front page news today. But it was pretty bad. But when it was said and done, Get this. In Acts 13, it says that when David was laid to rest, get this, he had served the purposes of God for his generation. And he's boasted about in the new covenant as a man after God's own heart. How many know that's restoration?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I got news for you today. None of you are beyond hope. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. But don't just stop at forgiveness, but allow for restoration. Again, David sought for his ministry to be restored. Isn't that amazing? He sought that his ministry to see sinners converted and restored. And he also sought for another thing, if you'll notice what we read, that praise would be put back on his lips. Because if there was one thing David was known for before Bathsheba, David was known as a man after God's heart. He was a worshiper. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Amen?
Yeah.
We sing his psalms and prayers today, even to this day. Now, most believers know, if we confess our sins, that God is what? Just and true, and He will what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that verse, 1 John 1:9. But many times we stop short of restoration. We stop short of renewal. Amen? Because what does it say? Repent and return so your sins will be wiped away? Absolutely. But for times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord. Everybody say the presence of the Lord. How many of you refreshed this morning? I've been refreshed ever since we got started. Hallelujah. It's been a powerful time. This is truly, here's why this is important. The difficult days that the Bible said we would experience at the end, we're starting to see them like never before. Have you noticed that? The darkness that is there, the encroachment, lawlessness is increasing. We're seeing people's love grow cold. I've never seen it like it is now. And maybe this is not, you know, the day before the coming of the Lord. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we're seeing the increase of those things. And the thing for me, I don't think any of us can go through this time without being in a restored place in our heart.
That's right.
We have to be in a restored place. Would you agree? Because if we're not, you know, this whole situation will run roughshod over you. And you'll find yourself being depressed.
Right.
You'll find yourself so concerned and wearying over the situation that's there. God needs restored hearts because you know why? He's still going to get His harvest.
Amen.
But He needs you. He needs me. Amen? To labor in that harvest so that He can receive the harvest. He intends to rise up and work the harvest. Will you rise up and work the harvest? Amen? Now, I'm just going to do a quick commercial. I told you all that, you know, next month, May, which is not this week, but next week, we'll be starting that specialized training and equipping for reaching the harvest and ministering to the lost and to the prodigal and all of that. So don't miss this opportunity to be a part of that. Especially those of you that you got your foundation laid, we're going to go into that in May, and I'll be contacting you about that. But anyway, here's the thing. I keep telling the Lord, tell me. I'll be honest with you guys. I've gotten to the point where I'm not receiving hardly any type of information, hardly anymore, from any other source. I mean, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I'm very, very careful on my phone. I'm very, very careful on Facebook. I'm very, very careful, you know, when the news is on the TV or whatever, because I'm telling you, we cannot allow the darkness to encroach our hearts. Amen? Because what I see with a lot of people is hopelessness.
Yeah.
And if you're in Christ, He's the hope of glory. If you're in Christ, it's schizophrenic to be in Christ and be hopeless. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen? We're spiritually weird. You got two heads. Yeah. And we need to understand that. We have to guard ourselves against that so that we don't, what? Lose heart.
That's right.
Even in writing about the fact that our bodies decay, Paul said, you know, he said, I don't want you to lose heart. Though your outer man is decaying, what did he say? The inner man is being renewed, what? Day by day. Think about it. To be renewed is to be made new again. Isn't that powerful? When Jeremiah was writing the book of Lamentations, I mean, you got to be in a good place spiritually to read that book. Right? But he did say something powerful. He said this, I know this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Say it with me. Great is His faithfulness. Glory to God. He's faithful. Think about it. Every morning of every day of every week, you and I can be renewed and restored. Hallelujah. Think about that. Not just Sundays. Some of you really be in trouble if it's only Sundays because I only see you a couple of Sundays a month. All right. I'll move on. But we can experience this renewal and this restoration. Here's four things I want to encourage you with to be diligent about. Number one, we must drink of Him. And we talked about this last week, the whole message. If you didn't get it, please receive it and listen to it. It's about worship. Everybody say worship. Worship. It's about drinking from the well of the rivers of living water in God. You know, I find in my life, the only thing that rehydrates me when I'm dry is worship.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen? It's the only thing that rehydrates me. It's to worship God. And isn't that where God was taking us prophetically today?
Yeah.
It's to understand, to enthrone Him in our lives, in that living water. Remember, you've got a well within you. And let me just say this. It's not only corporate, but you can enjoy drinking from the well privately too. And in fact, all the more you should. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
So I encourage you in it. Secondly, we've got to be a people that know how to fan the flame. We've got to know how to stir up the gift. Or some translations say, kindle the flame. Paul was writing to Timothy, encouraging him. There's stuff in you that I've imparted to you, he said, when I laid my hands upon you. And he said, I'll tell you what God didn't give you was fear or timidity. Amen? But He gave you power. Say it with me, power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gave you. So He said, fan the flame. And can I tell you today, you need to be careful what you're kindling in your heart. What you're looking at and what you're listening to could be kindling fear.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And depression and oppression. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? You can just be overwhelmed. What we ought to be fanning the flame on is things that cause power and love and a sound mind to rise up within me. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Notice that. The reason He says that is the responsibility is on us to stir it up. We've all had our hands laid on us. We've received things. We've had great services, great altar calls, ministry. But we've got to know how to steward what's been given unto us. Thank you.
Amen.
That was good, Rick. Number three, we must press on to know Him. Everybody look at me. You don't know Him as much as you could know Him.
Right.
I don't either.
Right.
We're not near as intimate as we could be. Would you agree?
Amen.
There's a depth in God that we can go to be intimate with Him. Paul presented it in such a way that it was a type of a diligent discipline to seek God. He said this, nothing else matters to me by comparison. In fact, he said everything else is rubbish in comparison to knowing Him. Now, here's the man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said this is all he lived for. And here's what he said, forgetting what lies behind, amen, he presses in to the upward call of God to know Him more. Anybody with me? Can I tell you today, respectfully, there can be no present restoration in the now if you're living in the past.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen? Under guilt. How about this? Regret.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
If you're living in the past, how can you have present restoration? Because as a man thinks within himself,
so is he.
So this intimacy with God will change the way we think and we take on the mind of Christ,
which
is what we need like never before. Would you agree? And let me tell you that. You don't get that because somebody laid hands on you.
That's right.
Oh, have the mind of Christ.
No.
There's no scriptural precedent for that. That is something developed in intimacy with Christ.
That's right.
Are you with me, guys? Come on. Hallelujah. Look at Hosea 6. Hosea 6. Verse number 3. So let us know. Let us what? Everybody say it. Press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Guys, He is as certain as tomorrow's sunrise. Amen?
Amen.
He's as certain as spring rains. I don't know, it doesn't fit well here. But let's just say He's as certain as the seasons. How about that? For those of us now, if you're from Memphis area, you guys have had a lot of spring rains because I look at your app on my phone. I talked to them earlier. They said everything is nice and lush and green there, right? Hallelujah. And there's nice humidity too, but anyway. But the question is, here's the thing. He's steadfast, but are we steadfast before Him? Because this is where the prophet takes it. Look at the next verse. Verse 4. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty, is like a morning cloud, like the dew which goes away early. How many of you ever thought you were so pressed in and you lasted about like the morning dew? Come on. My hand's up. I don't. How many of you want to develop a loyal heart? I'm serious. A loyal heart to the Lord. Remember 2 Chronicles 16:9? You know it. The minute I start it, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth that He may show Himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Anybody want to have some stamina?
Yeah.
Amen? Some stamina in God. Hallelujah. Which leads me to the fourth thing. There's only four. Hallelujah. But there's more. The fourth thing is, in this seeking of God, we've got to understand the waiting upon Him. We love to wait, right? We all love to wait. Waiting upon the Lord. We've got to take the time to wait upon Him. The Lord spoke to me, this is a while ago, but He spoke to me about, you know, how easily frustrated I am, you know, if I'm in a bank line, that I always pick the line that doesn't move. Anybody with me? Or these double lines in the fast food now. And I go and get behind there, and four more people order in the other line that I didn't get in. Because the guy in front of me is taking out a mortgage loan or something. Yeah. Are y'all with me? Yeah, anybody get... But the Lord spoke to me. He said, you've got plenty of time to scroll Facebook for an hour. Yeah. Yeah. Hello? We say we don't have time, but we actually do. Go meet Isaiah 40:27. Isaiah 40:27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Now, I know none of you have ever prayed that. How many know, when you're in a place like this, it's not the time to question God. Would you agree? How about this? How about feeling sorry for yourself? Hello? Or implying this, God doesn't care. But He does care. And He does listen. Amen? Don't fall for that lie. That didn't come from God. You know who that came from. Remember when the disciples were with Jesus in the storm? In the boat. And you remember what Jesus is doing? He's taking a siesta. And they go and they wake Him and they say, Lord, do You not care that we are perishing? Now we go, we look at that and we go, God, those guys, man, the gall to imply that Jesus didn't care. But we've been in situations a lot less strenuous than that, where we maybe have not said it, but we have thought it, right? Is God even paying attention to me? Don't fall for that. Look at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is what? Inscrutable. Let's all say that together. You need to practice. Inscrutable. Amen. Our God's wisdom is unlimited. His intelligence is high. He is beyond scrutiny. That's what that means. You can't scrutinize His wisdom. Look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary and to him who lacks might. I love this. What does it say? He increases power. Would anybody could use some strength? Come on. Yes. Could anybody use an increase of power? I do. Yes. I want to be more effective. Hallelujah. And He wants to do that in our lives, beloved. Do you see that? Do you see that? But you got to wait upon the Lord and receive that power. Even in the beginning, His disciples are probably excited. We're going to get out there. We're going to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And He said, wait. Wait until you're endued with power. Yep. Amen? Verse 30. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. I mean, I'm 63 and I get tired quicker than I used to. But I've seen some young guys run out of gas too. Are you with me? It ain't got nothing to do with how young or old you are. Anybody can stumble and get weary. Would you agree? Yeah. Everybody can. Yet. Everybody say yet. Yet. Those who wait for the Lord, say it with me, will gain new strength. Say it again. Will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who is that for? Who is it for? Not necessarily.
No.
Who's it for? They that wait. Trick question. They that wait upon. It is for you, but it isn't if you're not a waiter.
That's right.
Hello? He's not looking for busboys. He's looking for waiters. Hallelujah. I love when the Lord uses the analogy of eagles. Because how many of you know He truly is the wind beneath our wings? It's the Spirit of God. And eagles soar, they don't flap. They soar, and they soar very, very high. He so desires to restore us and renew us. And if we know His heart, then we can with confidence repent, return, and receive from Him. I believe we're in a season where there needs to be a lot of restoration to prepare us for what God wants to do. I really do believe that. But can I tell you this? He's not in the business. Please hear my heart. Isaiah said it this way. He's not in the business of breaking off bruised reeds. It's snuffing out smoldering wicks. But a lot of people think God is. They think because I blew it, because I'm struggling, God doesn't even care. And if anything, if he was to walk by right now, he'd probably just snap me off. How many of you know that's not God?
No.
And that's never been his heart. Now, I want to look at the context for that verse with you this morning in Isaiah 42, if you'll go there with me. Isaiah 42 and verse number 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. And he will bring forth what? Justice to the nations. And he will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. Let's say it out loud together. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. Amen? Amen? He will what? Faithfully bring forth justice. Now, everybody listen to me. There's a lot of talk about justice. But can I tell you, there's only one justice, and it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Amen? I know there's other types of justice, but this is talking about a justice that can only come through the redeeming power of the cross of Calvary. Amen? Amen? Where everything about you and me was placed upon Him.
That's right.
So that we could be healed and whole. Hallelujah. That's why we praise Him. Verse 4. He will not be disheartened or crushed until He has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands will wait, there it is, expectantly for His law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have what? Called you in righteousness. I will also uphold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you. Y'all, listen to this. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. How many know this generation is very idolatrous? Is it not? It's very much in darkness. It's very much in bondage. But can I tell you, only Jesus can bring them out. Amen? Only Jesus can bring them out. And here's the thing I want you to hear. And He intends to restore His ministry in His body in the earth to bring them out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're called to be salt. Remember, He turned around after declaring He was the light of the world. Then He looks at His disciples. He said, I say you're the light of the world.
Yep.
You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what God's calling us to do. Hallelujah. Verse 9. Now listen to the prophetic word. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Everybody say new things. Everybody say restoration. And before they spring forth, I what? Proclaim them to you. Guys, you all know this, but that's how the prophetic works. Amen? He proclaims it first, and then it is brought forth. And what is our response to the prophetic word of the Lord? What does it say? Sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands, in the city and in the suburbs. And in the mountains, and on the res, and off the res, and in the valley. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I mean, He covers it.
Amen.
Give praise to the Lord.
Praise to the Lord.
See, there's never, please hear my heart, there's never really a true restoration that sticks without praise being restored to your lips. David knew that, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's how he closed that psalm. The praiser of God reminded himself, His praise again will be upon my lips. And our response to anything prophetic, anything new, anything of restoration or renewal, your response is praise.
Yes.
Amen? It isn't get theological. It's get in praise. Because that is what sets the devourer on the run. Amen? And hallelujah, did you know God responds? When you and I respond properly, God responds. Look at verse 13. The Lord will go forth like a kitty cat. What's it say? Come on! The Lord will go forth like a warrior, and He will arouse His zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes. He will raise a war cry. And He will what?
Prevail
against his enemies. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. I tell you, when God arises, amen? When God is, we were singing and exhorted today, when God is enthroned, I got news for you. The devil and his minions are out of here.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. What a powerful and yet compassionate God of restoration we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, he's zealous for us. Please hear me. He's zealous for us. We're not to live like other people.
That's right.
We're not. We're not to live like everybody else.
That's right.
We're His chosen people.
Amen.
We're His holy people, His holy priesthood. We're not to live like everybody else lives. Amen? We got a special calling and a special responsibility to a way of life. It's called the way in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's like three ways in one. Like a three-stranded cord. First of all, we're to live like a bride. Right? A bride that's getting ready for the coming bridegroom, right? We're making ourselves ready. Our whole point is to worship Him and be intimate with Him, right?
Right.
To be close to His heart. To look for and love His appearing.
Yes.
But we're also to live as bondservants. Bondservants. Not only serving one another, but a bondservant of the Lord. Interestingly, Jesus said, my bondservants are not slaves. They're my friends.
Friends.
Amen? We're to be that people who will rise up and say, Lord, I volunteer freely in the day of your power. I'm yours. Here's your man. Send me. Amen? Thrust me into the harvest. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thirdly, though, there's another strand. And this is where you really start to struggle between a bride, but we're also a soldier.
That's right.
Amen? We're soldiers in the army of God. I saw a prophetic picture years ago of a bridal gown. It was like a prophetic picture, and the bride had on a beautiful gown, and she had on combat boots. Have y'all seen that?
Yeah.
I would like to add to it. I think she would also have a sickle in her hand.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
A sickle of harvest, right? And maybe a sword of the Spirit, right? But it's the prophetic imagery. I love that picture. I wish I could find it. But we're to be a living sacrifice. Soldiers put on their armor. Amen? Soldiers stand firm. Hallelujah. Soldiers fight the good fight. Soldiers are all in. If the general says to do it, we're doing it. You with me? That's the difference. And that's part of the calling. How many know we need the restoring of the bride, the bondservant, and the soldier restored in our hearts? Do we not?
Amen.
Man, that's three messages right there. I might preach on that sometime. Anyway, not today. Everybody relax. But when we talk about restoration, sometimes you feel like it's a complete overhaul, don't you? Like, wow, God's just completely overhauled. And sometimes it's a renewal of things that maybe we've kind of, you know, allowed to grow stale. And then other times, the restoration can be more of a finishing, and I feel like this is really where God is with a lot of us, it's finishing something He's already begun in us. Whether it be the finishing of your healing, the finishing of a work of God that maybe seems maybe stalled out or slowed down, but my message to you today is to bring hope to you. To bring hope. I want to restore hope to you. Hope is so important. How many know you can't have faith without hope?
That's right.
Because what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. So if you're not hoping for anything, you have no faith to authorize in your life. Amen? What does Proverbs 13:12 say? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Think about that. Desires fulfilled brings life. How many know that's true? The longer you go and nothing happens that you're believing for, it really gets hard. You come into a heart sickness. So I want to encourage you to put hope in the Lord. Are y'all with me? He Himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Amen?
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 Amen.
Now, I want to just share a couple of promises of restoration and renewal with you. We're not going to look at these on the screen. I just want you to hear them. And let faith arise. Just receive this right now. He is faithful to renew our inner man day by day. Amen?
Amen.
Joel, Isaiah, and Zephaniah said this, that He'll make up to us for the years of corruption and loss.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we will have plenty and be satisfied. And instead of shame, we'll have a double portion.
Amen.
And instead of humiliation, we will shout for joy, and everlasting joy will be ours. Hallelujah. And I ministered this one already in Jeremiah 30, if you want to know where that was. He will restore our health and heal our wounds. Anybody need that restoration?
Yeah.
Amen. He will, Psalm 103, He will satisfy your years with good things.
Amen.
Amen. And renew your youthfulness as the eagle. There's that eagle again. Hallelujah. And my favorite from the beloved 23rd Psalm, He restores my soul. Amen. He restores my soul. Now, the Word promises restoration. Do y'all agree?
Yes.
The Word all throughout promises restoration. It's His heart, okay? To not only save you, but to restore you. Amen? The power that causes this revelation and renewal to take place in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. He said, it's actually going to be to your advantage that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, the Helper, the Comforter. And when He comes, He's going to lead you and guide you into truth. Amen? Here's the thing. He has been with you, Jesus said, but He will be where?
In
you. Say, in me. Say it again. In me. One more time.
In me.
I'm looking around this room. I know all of you are born again. You know the Lord. You've received the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, come down right now and I'll pray for you. I think I know every one of you. In me. Say in me.
In
the Holy Spirit is in you. I heard a story recently that I've actually heard several times. So it's one of those stories that every time it gets retold, probably some stuff, there's some embellishment to it to some degree. But the story goes like this. There's a guy who's a missionary who was assigned to a field office somewhere to serve with this missionary organization. And when he gets there, they give him a decent car. It runs. Wasn't the greatest car in the world, but it wouldn't start. He's obviously not mechanical at all to try anything. All he knows is this. It's a manual transmission. Now, I get ready to lose all of you that are under 40 probably. But it's a manual transmission. And he knew one thing you could do. Some of you know, even if it won't start, if you put the key in on, and then you get going and then pop the clutch in gear, it'll crank the car. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all look at me like, I lost you at manual transmission.
Yeah.
But it would crank the car. But that's kind of a hassle. And they said for 2 years this guy was assigned to this field office. For 2 years he had people push it. He had the kids in the school pushing his car for him. Or he'd park on a hill so he could let it roll and pop the clutch and crank the car. Or he'd drive somewhere and just leave it running. Well, he gets reassigned to a different missionary office and they send the new guy with at least half a brain. And the new guy comes, and he tells him about the car. He said, it's actually a good running car. But he said, unfortunately, you're going to have to do this. And the guy goes, huh. And he goes around, he opens the hood, and he cleans the battery cables and tightens them up, and it fires right up. Everybody knows the story. Here's the thing. The power was there. But the loose connection kept the power from being able to be instituted. Are you with me? I know that's a simple little example. But think about this. David prayed, and I purposely didn't spend any time on it when we read it. You remember what else he prayed when he was asking for God to restore him? He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And we have to understand, in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, the Spirit wasn't within them. He would come upon them for a season or a time or a ministry or prophecy or things like that. But they didn't have. And so, especially if you were in sin, you would just sense the Holy Spirit was gone. Like a dove, He just flew away type of a thing. And so David was crying out. But can I tell you, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? That He would be with us for always, forever. Amen?
Amen.
So let me just say to you, the power is in you.
That's right.
You might have a loose connection. Because let's be honest, we try to do a lot of things. I got this, Lord. I'll just get pushed off and pop the clutch.
Yeah.
Right? And the Lord said, no, it's actually better if you use the power that is there. And that's my encouragement to you today. Do you receive it?
Amen.
Reconnect. Tighten up your connection to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because He's within you. And He is the renewing, regenerating power. It's the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, the charismatic movement was at its height in the late 70s. And they called it, many times we would go to conferences and meetings, and they would call it the charismatic renewal. Because we were being renewed in something that we had already received, but we were now receiving Him in fullness in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And if you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, open yourself up to the baptism with the Holy Spirit and reconnect to the power. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
It's important. Here's the thing. We don't get to continually experience what we don't give away. You hear what I said? He's not going to leave you, but you can't continually experience what you don't give away. Freely you've received, freely give. What is out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, we know it flows out of us in prayer and in worship, absolutely. But He wants it to flow out of you to others. Amen? He wants to touch others with the power and love of God. Amen? So, I'll say this to you before we pray. It is good to pray prayers of repentance. We all agree. It's good to seek for a rededication that leads to restoration and renewal. But we've got to also learn how to catch the wind. Amen? We've also got to learn how to catch. Did you know that's what the word refreshing means? Catch the wind. We need to catch the wind of the Spirit. Because He not only wipes your sins away, but He wishes to bring a mighty wind. And I've been believing for that. And I truly believe with all of my heart, as we get into and stay in this posture, that there are encounters of the Holy Spirit that are going to be coming to the bride in ways unlike anything we've ever known. Anybody want that? I really want that. I'm talking about where God comes in and fills the room, that He fills the atmosphere, amen, with the presence of God. And I believe He wants to do that, and He wants to restore us in that way. And it's just the work of the Holy Spirit that we have to yield to. And I believe the Lord was healing and touching today because we yielded to Him. But let me just say to you, I believe there's some encounters that are just going to be like, wow, I didn't see that one coming. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the one that tries to steady the cart.
That's right.
You know? God, do what you want to do. And but we have to be hungry for it and want to be reconnected to it. So I want to encourage you in that right now. Could we just lift our hands to heaven right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer for restoration right now. We're just going to allow Holy Spirit to just reconnect us right now. Would you just pray this with me out loud from your heart? Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh and fill me anew. Come, I am yours. Create within me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit, a steadfast spirit, a loyal heart. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your salvation. That my lips may bring forth praise and shouts of joy unto you. Sustain me, Lord, with a willing spirit to always do your will. Come. Come. Hallelujah. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lift your face toward heaven and begin to worship. Whatever you want to do, if you want to kneel down, you want to stand up, you want to move about, you want to come to the front, whatever you want to do. Let's reconnect this morning. Let's connect to the source, the power. Let's connect to the love. Let's connect to the healing, to the peace. It's who He is. It's who you are, Lord. Oh, it's who you are, Lord. Let your voice begin to sing. Let your voice begin to sing.
All the distractions, I lay aside all my emotions. I need you. I need you. Lay aside all the distractions. Lay aside all my emotions. I need you.
point first for you to have revelation of what restoration looks like in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your church right now. Just close your natural eyes right now. Just again, just stay in a posture before the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and release a spirit of wisdom and revelation to each one. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our heart would be opened to see and imagine and know what it is you've called us to restore us to the way, to restore us, Lord God, to health and healing, to restore us, Lord God, to the abundant life that you came to give. Would you ask him right now, allow me to see it, Lord? Ask him, allow me to see it. Come on, say it with your mouth. Allow me to see it, Holy Spirit. I want to see. That's our cry, Lord, to see those things that our eyes have never seen, to hear those things our ears have never heard, to imagine and ponder things that our hearts have never, ever even imagined. The deep things of God. I hear the Lord saying to some of you, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven and you're clean because of the blood of Jesus. And therefore you qualify for restoration. You qualify for your calling, says the Lord. For my gifts and callings upon you, I don't repent and take them back, says the Lord. They're still yours if you'll step into them, says the Lord. Reconnect to the power. Let's sing this to the Lord. There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. Come on, sing it to the Lord. Invite him. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and I've seen.
And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen. Sing that one more time. Sing it. I've tasted.
And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love.
When my heart becomes clean and my shame is undone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
Shout hallelujah. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. The joy of his salvation.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Lord.
Begin to sing in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Reconnect. Reconnect right now.
Holy Abba, Son.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good.
Let us become.
Let us be
more aware.
More aware of your presence.
Let us experience.
The glory of your goodness.
Every voice, let it be your cry.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Of your goodness, God. Place your hand over your belly. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. Say with me, power, love, and a sound mind. Say it again, power, love, and a sound mind. Rivers, rivers of living water flow through me. Lord, let the wells be uncorked right now. Let the wells be uncorked right now. In the name of Jesus. Sir, some of you in your particular ministry, in your particular aspect of your calling, the Lord, as you connect and stay connected, I hear the Lord saying there's going to be such clarity come to you in what I've called you to do and what I've placed upon your life to do. I feel for some of you, you feel like you're kind of, the picture I saw in my mind when I was just praying was this, it was like kind of moving through an old foggy graveyard. And I just hear the Lord say, what is behind is behind. But the fog is clearing, the fog is lifting, and the Lord's leading you out into life. He's leading you out into a new thing. So forget. Forget. Turn your back on what lies behind. Put it under the blood and move on. Hallelujah. Say, I will press. Come on. I will press. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. I will press. I will press to know you, Lord. Oh. Sarabakata, tarabaka, sarabakata. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh. May not only the language of utterance be given unto you by the Holy Spirit to pray, to sing the very mysteries of heaven, but also may the language of dreams and visions come to you now. Come on, say, let me see. Come, Lord. Dreams, visions, revelations. To ascend to Mount Zion and to worship.
Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Breathe upon me, Jesus. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the wind blow. Let the winds blow, let it blow, let the winds blow, yeah, yeah, let it blow, let the winds blow, oh, oh, oh,
oh. I hear the Lord say, it's getting ready to get windy in your prayer closet. It's getting ready to get windy when you're driving to work and in your car. Stay connected. Stay connected. It's going to be windy in your home. Any place on which the sole of your foot shall tread. For the wind blows where it wishes and where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from. But the Lord says, so it is of those who are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Come on, say it. I'm not trying to be funny. Say it. It's going to get windy. Come, Holy Spirit. Woo! Be the wind beneath our wings. We want to soar, Lord. We want to soar with you. Sarabakatata. Rise on eagle's wings. The Lord will lift you, and He will lift you, and He will show you. And He's going to lift your head up above your enemies. As promised in Psalm 27, He will lift your head up high above your enemies. For you will soar with me, says the Lord, and you will gain my perspective and my insight and my understanding, says the Lord. So that you will not strive and you will not be confused, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You will not be hopeless, says the Lord. In fact, you will have everlasting joy. It will be yours. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. Gramakatate. Anybody got anything stirring in their heart that would be good to speak over to corporate hold before we leave? Just something God showed you or anything, word of knowledge? Okay, let's all stand together one more time. Would you just place your hand on your neighbor's shoulder? Feel if you're sitting by him, it won't hurt. Father, today we just pray. I pray for a stickiness to be on us. That everything you've imparted and said and done and imparted today, Lord God, it sticks. It stays on us in the name of Jesus. Healing. Restoration. That nothing in life would open up wounds again. No more. No more. Healing of the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, even those who've already begun to receive healing in this service today and those of our friends at home, Lord, we pray just for a completion of that work, full restoration, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now say this with me, if you would, as you're touching your friend right now beside you, your brother, your sister, would you just say this as a word that will speak to them also? Let's say it together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. For he has forgiven us of all our sins. He has healed us of all our sicknesses. He has redeemed us out of the pit of destruction, out of the hand of the enemy. He has crowned us with loving kindness and with compassion. And he shall satisfy us with good things and renew our youthfulness as the eagle. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. The Lord bless each one of you and keep you. The Lord's countenance and face be upon you as he shines upon you and grants you peace, shalom, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. If you receive it, say amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say bye to all of you online. Glad you joined us today. Hope to see you really, really soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today, if you need